motion. Some people argue about who wrote this letter, but we can clear in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. From the beginning, it said Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, so we can tell the writer is a Paul. And also chapter 4, verse 8. 18, I mean, chapter 4, verse 8, in the last verse. I, Paul, wrote this greeting with my own hand. So his signature is this letter. But some scholar keep on insist this letter may not be written by Paul. That's okay. We know that Paul wrote this letter, then that's enough. Some people write that against or making some thesis, or they're trying to make a doctorate degree, that's all. Anyway, as a writer, it's a Paul. And then there's kind of just a background. We can think about, you know, Colossae, the ancient city. We mentioned about Hierapolis and Laodicea and Colossus, these three cities. They're very close to each other, these three cities. One in top is Hierapolis, Laodicea, Colossians, the locations. The most likely about 15, 20 miles, you know, roughly. 15 to 17 around miles. They located each other. They're very close, these three cities. So Paul, when he wrote this this letter, he mentioned about that all these, because member of the those place, just like you know, chapter 4:13, and then 4:13 to 16, there you find out that the mention about this Laodicea, and actually Paul mentioned that this letter not only for the saint in Colossians, but also this one to bring to Laodicea, also to let them to read. So it's a circle around this letter to share with this letter. So he mentioned about that. These three cities about 100 miles from the Ephesus. Ephesus is a tour to the west. City nearby the sea, no? The Ephesus. So some mentioned that this Colossians written by Paul when he was in Ephesus. Most of the scholar believe that this one is written when he was in the Rome. Ephesians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's all written. We know these three is written in the, when he was in the prison. Maybe included, you know, the 2 Timothy and Philippians, that all possibly he was in the prison, he wrote those letters. Anyway, these are three cities. Later on, Laodicea is more prosperous. So we know in the book of Revelation, there's seven churches. The Laodicea is the one of them. So not mentioned about the term Colossians. But this city later shrinking back to smaller. During the time of Rome, so this city has a location-wise, a very strategic location, using as a military a campaign purpose. Because this city can stretch themselves toward the east side. So the Colossus is used for that very strategic cities. But later, there's many shaking. This place is shaken by God. So I think the people doesn't like to stay there. So they move out the cities, if possible. So it's kind of a small town, you mentioned that. And here the basic background, in 62 BC, there were about 11,000 Jewish free men, they live in these areas. Because of the, I think it's, I think the kingdom is the first century BC, anyway. And they tried to relocate these Jewish people. So at that time, that these people come into this town to settle there. So this city is like quite mixed up with the other races, the native people, Jewish people, and Romans. So all kind of mix up this town. At that time, the church was established, but we know this church, some people says Paul established, initiated, or some says anybody knows who initiated this? I mean, who established this church? Chapter 1, verse 7. Just as you learn it from the Epaphras, our beloved fellow bound servant, who is the faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Actually, he's there. He trained them, he educated them. So possibly, scholar believe that he is the one who established this church. So Epaphras is the one that possibly started this ministry here in Colossae. And then the date and the place of writing, I just mentioned that it's a prison, when he was in the prison, he wrote this. The roughly 61 to 63 AD, and this letter was written by Paul. But some disagree too. But that's okay, 2,000 years ago. So the date is not much meaningful, because we know the Paul wrote then around that time, 61 to 63. The purpose of this epistle, if you look at all the reference book, you find out there's a during this time, there's a outside of the philosophies, and also outside of those idea is slowly coming into the church. So the Paul, he worry about this force from outside to coming into the church to destroy the church and the members' faith. So actually, the whole this book of Colossians, he mentioned him warning to the saints, do not listen to, do not follow to the outside philosophies and those things, but you can stick to the Lord, and you can Jesus is the one preeminent, the fullness of him, so you don't need any more. Jesus Christ is enough for in your life. So he mentioned about the four things here. In chapter 2, a philosophy of man. But outside, because you are in a college, many of you is in college, and study the, maybe you're, as a requirement, you're taking the class about philosophies. Philosophy is very very complicated. They're teaching you about, philosophy's main focus is how our life can be happier. But study too much then too complicated. When I take the philosophy, it's too complicated. I got C. Do the basic, just pass the grade, and that was fine. Too much. I'm not that complicate myself. Sorry. Philosophy, in a sense, philosophy is very helpful. It's very helpful. Math is the base on the philosophy, right? Math is philosophy. No? Yes, right. Math is come from the basic of the philosophies. They assume that 1 + 1 = 2. Thus, 1 + 1 = 2. But God's math is sometimes different. 1 + 1 = 1. Sometimes 1 + 1 = 1,000. So, but humans' philosophy, based on philosophy, is 1 + 1 = 2. That's the philosophy. So logic, the human logic, come from the human philosophies. Sometimes, have you noticed that if we bring to our philosophy, human philosophy, into the church, sometimes it doesn't work. Have you noticed sometimes? Because our ministry is not based on the human logic, human philosophies. The God's work is not based on the money. The money is important, but money is it's not the essence of God's work. Because God can make from nothing to something. So once we bring the philosophy outside of philosophy into church, then this one doesn't work. So church management, church operations, we can say church administrations and all the holy work, not based on the human logic. If we bring the human logic, then there's no faith. Faith is not based on the human philosophies, not based on the human's flesh, our nature come from this earth. Faith is come from above. So things you believe. Not you haven't seen it, but you believe that you know it is existence. It's not based on your commitment that what you see. So human philosophies help us in a sense. There's some way, but there's limitations. When we come to God, a human philosophy is like mostly the least one, we can say. Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principle of the world, rather than according to Christ. Verse 9, you mentioned that Paul mentioned that, for in him all the fullness of deity dwell in the body of form. So what your fullness, what your satisfactions, what your confidence, what your joy, is not came from the worldly philosophies. Paul mentioned the importance of fullness of the fullness of God. So Paul here mentioned the warning to the saint in Colossae, and do not be deceived by the philosophies, and there's empty deceptions. That's a human's knowledge based on that it came out. So do not be deceived by that. The second one is you mentioned about the Judaistic ceremonialism. Do you know one of the main one? We can say that is circumcision. Circumcision is one of the main issue that when the time of apostle, because the Jewish concept, their understanding is, no matter what. You believe in Jesus Christ, but still you have to circumcise them. Because Genesis chapter 17, when Abraham, God established this covenant between Abraham and God, God says that this is everlasting, it's a perpetual covenant. It comes from the initiate by God. So even all the from generation after generation, all the Israelites, they have to circumcise. 8 days, they have to circumcise. Even though that's a Sabbath day, they circumcised. Because why it's so strict? Why it's so important? That's how they connect to God. Otherwise, they cut away from God. So circumcision is one of the major for the Israelites, you know, their belief and confidence in their life. So once away from the this circumcision, there's nothing to talk about. That's why it becomes a greater obstacle at the beginning, during the time of Apostle. That's why Acts chapter 15, the first meeting in Jerusalem, why you know, Paul and the rest of all the apostles and the elders, they gather together in Jerusalem, they talk about it, because of these issues, circumcisions. The Paul here very dynamically mentioned about it. He solved this issue very straightforward. Look at, once you get Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. And in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. So the Paul here, connection of the circumcision issue to the verse 11 mentioned the circumcision made without hands. Paul very clear you know, about the circumcisions. Now, what is the in New Testament time in our circumcisions? Our circumcision is the one that made without hands. I mentioned about the it's not the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in the baptism. You mentioned about the important thing is this circumcision. So in Old Testament time, these circumcisions actually continue to us. This everlasting covenant. That you and I, we're having this covenant. This is an everlasting covenant, but not by hand. Not by hand. And when we go in the chapter 2, we can discuss further this. This Jesus, God re-established his covenant. That is the one, not by hands. So he gave us a new covenant established. Because Jewish people, Israelites, they circumcised physically, but they do not circumcise in their heart. All the Gentiles, they do not circumcise. They're all under the judgment of God. So the God, the nullified, the first covenant, and the later he established a new covenant. This new covenant is established by the Lord Jesus Christ. But concept here is the same thing like the circumcision. So many are, because these understanding is very important, the later. Because many denominations out there, they mention that based on the Romans chapter 10, you believe in Jesus, you confess your sin, you accept the Jesus as your Savior, that you're saved. Because salvation is not by your deeds, but by grace of Lord Jesus. Simply they mention that. So for most of the denominations, even like who perform the baptism and fully immersed, they do not consider this baptism as establishing the new covenant. They do not clearly understand. But Paul here, Colossians chapter 2, mentioned that 11, 12, 13, chapter 2, he clearly mentioned about importance of this circumcision without hands. And we can explain later. So we can think about this. Why is so important? Why is so precious? Yeah. So that's a second outside of the the source coming into the church to destroy the members' faith because of usual circumstances. And also, that does bring also another issue is a festival. You know the, I think it's a festival. You know, you believe in God, but still, it comes from the Jewish concept. You have to follow all the you know, those feasts. Yeah, okay, we have a seven feast. You have to keep all these. And so that issue mentioned that now verse let's look at the chapter 2 verse 14. Having cancelled out the certificate of the debts consist of decrees against us and the which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed to the cross. The year Paul mentioned about when Jesus died on the cross, all these the Old Testament times, the feasts of the way, the man's way, to keep with the flesh, now is all nullified. It's spiritually all fulfilled. So you don't have to do this. But Jesus finished when he died on the cross. So he clarified for that issue. But why he said that? Because Jewish people, this concept bring into the church. And it destroyed members, the mind. Yeah. You know, because there's a... sometimes you drive, you go through the detour, and then because there's construction. The detour is always temporary road. And so when you drive the detours, now after several months you drive, but you can see that there's some, you know, detours, road, but it's rough still. The nicely paved way is opened. You still stick into the, you know, the rough way of detour. Then there's no point for the prepare for the construct this the main road. It makes sense. So if you keep on going the detour, you can go. Maybe you can go, but you can see that there's no more road because it's no more use. So Christian life also, because we are, Jesus came and he died on the cross. He opened the way. This way is the right. This way is the only way. This way is the perfect way. It's a complete way. But Jewish people still, they want to go through the detour way. Now, I think you studied all the, you know, Old Testament is the shadow. The shadow is important too. But yet, now that Jesus came to us, showed us true substance, the way of salvation. So, but Jewish people still wants to stick to the, you know, this detour. That was the problem. That bring into the church and then bring the chaos and the problems that destroy the solid faith. And now, after that, it's mentioned about this angel worship. But chapter 2, verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self abasement and the worship of the angels. I think at that time, so this angel worshiping is kind of their kind of a, you know, a trend for the people. They become too humble themselves, but this is not true humble, true humility. And sometimes we have to work for God, and I say, oh, no, I cannot do. But we know that you're supposed to do it, that part. If you continue to say, you cannot do, that's not a true humility. That's a coward. So that there's a way to understand that true humility, sometimes the true humility we misunderstand, oh, I cannot do, so I better not to do it, I don't do it. And this is not a humility. Because you don't want to use your talent, your gift. That is not a true humility. But anyway, there's a side story. But have you noticed that when you, I'm not trying to, you know, against it, but if you go to Catholic church, you find out there's a the mother Mary. Because they trying to pray to Mary, because Mary is a mother of Jesus. So you can pray to Mary, so that Mary can pray for you. You know, kind of concept. And also, if you have a sin, that you bring to the like, small space you next to, you know, there's the priest sit down, you sit down, there's a, you know, between the curtain. And then you confess the sin to the priest. So the priest can forgive. And kind of concept. That's a concept of humility. Actually, this concept comes from the Old Testament anyway. And because concept of priest, the mediator between God and man. But actually, you are. Do you know you are priest, right? You know you are priest. Don't come to me confess your sin. It's okay. And you don't have to. You confess to yourself because the temple of God is within you. See, the First Corinthians, Paul mentioned that temple of God is in your heart. When we receive the Holy Spirit, you are anointed. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was opened. No longer need the priest to bring your sin, to make a burnt offering and sin offering and guilty offering for you. But you are the priest, you can get in. And also it's wonderful that the veil was opened when Jesus died. And you can go into directly to the mercy seat. It is really awesome, changed. If still we have our life, we have with the priestship in the Old Testament, and you sin, then you have to bring your animals, then your dog or your cats bring to that, you kill them, and then shedding the blood, and make an offering to God, burn offering, so that your sin can be forgiven. So priests can do it. But you don't have to do that, because you are priest. Because the temple of God is within your heart. Once you get into the holy place, you can see the mercy seat right away. That's how great you are. The difference, when you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 9, they mention about the picture of a temple of God inside of the tabernacle. That's different in the Old Testament time. Because last time at SEC, I explained to you, but it's a different. Once you go in, there's no veil. You are in front of the mercy seat. Why is the mercy seat so precious? Because your sin can be forgiven directly. You know, the once a year, all the Israelites, they have to wait for the high priest to go into the holy and holy place. And then the high priest bring the blood of the animal and then sprinkle on the top of the mercy seat. And then it's forgiven for all the Israelites. But this high priest is also so scared. Because when he get into the holy and holy place, if he has a sin, then he died there. But no one can go into the holy and holy place. You know that, right? Anybody who trying to bring this body out of the holy and holy, you die too. Just like you're holding the electricity and you die, then somebody touching the same thing. This is also a side story, but once the high priest go into the holy and holy place, no one can get in, only him. He has to deal with God for the sin of Israel. So what happened is in Old Testament time, they bring the string holding in the feet tied up, and then there's a string with the bell. So the outside is waiting, the priest is waiting for outside. What he's doing, or the finish, is a ritual there for the forgiveness of sin. But for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, if he doesn't come out, then try from out there to, the string, he's still alive there or he died. Have to check, So once that nothing happened, then you have to pull this body out of the string. You have to pull this out of the body of the holy, holy place. Such a great fear. You think about how fear at the moment. All Israelites, I'm sure, I wasn't there, so I do not know. So, but at that time, all the Israelites, maybe so quiet from outside. They're waiting for the high priest finished for this ritual between God So the forgiveness of Israelites. Now the high priest came out and said, all your sins. Then all the Israelite sin is forgiven. But that's Old Testament time. But New Testament time is different. Do you have any sin? You still, it bothers you. Maybe you spend the NYTS about 1 week. Come into the holy place. Forgive. You can repent. God will forgive your sins. So how great our our status, the royal priesthood. Yeah. So the angels worship. This destroys the purpose of the gospel, purpose of God's grace. It looks like it's in a humble humility. No, this destroys the purpose of God. So once when we have sinned, we dare we come to God, we kneel down, we repent. God will forgive us our sin. This is the way. This is the way. Not the way in the Old Testament. So it is a blessing. And the last ones are here, the asceticism. Because Gnosticism is it's the one that truly developed in the second century. So at this time, this is like a ancient, which is a primitive Gnosticism at that time, during the time of Paul. So primitive Gnosticism. So some people say proto-Gnosticism. That's okay, that's terminology. You don't have to know, I don't have to know. That's okay. But then, you know, we can say primitive Gnosticism. The Gnosticism is come from the people, it's people's, you know, ideas. How we can be holier. So think about it. And then we can see that, you know, flesh is very dirty. Flesh is very dirty. Flesh is so filthy. So what happened is eating is filthy. Everything is filthy. So it belongs to our flesh. So they want to try to separate from spirit side and flesh side. So they want to draw these two. So that way they can make holy themselves in the human idea. That comes to come into the, Catholics. The Catholic white priest not married because they want to be holy. Before they become a priest, they promise to God, they offer God, I do not get married. If they say I get married, they kick him out. So that's the oath. They want to be holy life. But that idea is come from the actually based on the Gnosticism. So that's how they want to be holy. Have you noticed a lot of scandal and issue came out from there too? That's not the right way the human's life. Human's life will follow according to the God's way. I really thank God. God designed us, the man and woman. If I live alone myself, I cannot be a minister. I thank God my wife. I really thank God. When I lay down next to my wife, I'm holding hands. Oh, thank God you're there. So you cook for me. It's great. I need you. No, because the thing is, the man and woman, also, because I'm a really bad writer, but she's a good writer. Thank God. She's my, you know, lifelong secretary. You know how great it is, because I sending my report to GA, but even I write one paper. Wife, please help me. I love you. Can you help me? And I just talk to, you know, things and things, and she just write it and sending to GA. Thank God I finished my report. Wonderful. And also, one thing is great because, you know, I really don't know how much is my salary, what we spent. My wife take care of everything. It is great. Well, because last time I go to Canada, NYTS, and I talked to my wife, oh, I have no money, can I have some money? So she said she gave it to me, but she forgot. And then I get into the airport. Oops, there's no money. But of course, there's a credit card, but if she, you know, insecure. But really, thank God my wife take care of it. Whether she late charge for the credit card, I don't know. Before I saw that. But she take care of everything. Wow, thank God God designed us man and woman. It is a blessing of God. That's how I make my life simple and easy. It is a blessing of God. So we have to follow according to the God's design. Once your idea is over, we can say over it, then there's problems. Holiness is the same thing. Holiness. What is holiness? You know the two second century, how their idea to themselves to be holy themselves. They go to the, you know, cliff site, or way to the, you know, the open, what is it, the wilderness. And on the high top of that, they build just the monastery. I think the picture is beautiful. You know, the cliffside, the monastery, and then sometimes the isolated island, there is a monastery there. Don't think that that's the way the holiness. Holiness does not come from that way. Holiness comes from the Holy Spirit. Holiness, we our life get into our life, real life, so that we can get to know the people. So we find that, that's why the fellowship is so important. It's not I myself isolate so I can be holy, no. Holiness comes from the understanding of true love of God. So Jesus mentioned how you can be holy yourself, love your God. With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments for everything. So God's idea of the holiness is different than like a human's idea, the separations. You know, because like a Buddhist, they want to be holy. Raise their, you know, the head. I want to. Because once you raise my, you know, cut all the hair, then it's don't have to take care, you know, no need, what is that, shampoo. So I think it's good. So it's good, I like to. But I couldn't start it yet. But the thing is, they want to go to the temple on the mountainside. They want to be holy there. Of course, they can you know, cultivate a little bit. Just we come to the NYTS here, this cultivation, separation from the world. But you have to go back. Your life is not here, it's everything. No, this is the part of your life for support your life when you go back to your true life. With your friends, your life with your co-workers, your business, wherever you go outside, with your friends, your family, that's your life. So what we started here, we have to bring this back there to truly share with them. So Jesus mentioned that you're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. It's so precious. What you learn here, your life to be like a life of soap. Somebody say life of soap is beautiful. Soap has to be melted. Soap has to be, somebody like to use you. So it has to be constantly, you know, melted little by little, released, let other people to be cleansed. It's just like, you know, some fancy word about the soap. That's okay. But the life, asceticism. This is chapter 2. We can see that here. Verse 20 and 21. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 20. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principle in the word of the word, why, as if you were living in the word, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, test, do not touch. So this, because Paul explained the concept of this asceticism, separations, flesh and spirit. So this is not a right, and Paul mentioned that. And verse 22, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teaching of men. And 23, these are the matter which have to be assured, the appearance, the wisdom of self-made religion and self-abasement and the severe treatments of the body, but are of no value against the fleshly indulgence. And Paul here mentioned, this is nothing. If you stick to there, then actually you cannot understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is everything. That's what chapter 1 mentioned. Do not seeking something else. Jesus is enough. That's what he mentioned about preeminence of Jesus Christ. He is everything. If you think something else, you know, in your Christian life, if you think something else, then you have something problem in your mind. You have to think about it. If Jesus is everything, then this life is blessed. So the Paul, he mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I determined to know nothing but his death, his crucifixion, his dying on the cross. Simple, because that is my foundation. That is my faith. That is my confidence. That's Apostle Paul. So not something else. As long as Jesus is in my life, then I can be satisfied. So the Colossians chapter 1 to 4, you can read. Why I just here and there to keep on talking? Because I know you haven't read yet. So since you haven't read it, there's not much to talk about it. So I have to make something this way to as open your mind so they can think about and you can read. So chapter 1 to chapter 4. Once you find out chapter 1, you find out some keywords. Of course, in the notes you can find the keyword, but you can find out complete. And in Paul chapter 1 mentioned the understand, bearing the fruit, complete man. With the Lord, we can be completed. True. Not the worldly philosophy. That's why chapter 2 at the beginning, Paul says, rooted down in the Lord. Chapter 3 mentioned that you take out your old one, but put on the Christ, new self upon your life. So get rid of all the old one, but put on the new ones. He mentioned that. It's important. It's time to finish. Chapter 3 continue mentioned about the life, our life to be completed. I hope you can read 1 to 4. Don't read just once, because only it takes 10 minutes. So, but read very slowly, but don't dozing while you're reading. So, but you read whole 1 to 4, think about it. You can think about it. So you can read whole chapter. So tomorrow we can discuss about Colossians 1 to 4. I really said when I go to Canada NYTS, I only finished chapter 1 for 6 hours. So I feel very sorry for them, and then I said, I don't want to have the same mistake here. So I want to go to, because I'm very unorganized, I know. But we can discuss about this one, because Colossians is so precious. Colossians is treated as a spiritual, the coffee break. You have many important topic, you have it. So that is your focus. But this one, you just sit down to think about it. And I think God bless you. Let's pray in silence.